Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from FPX Nickel, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FPX and on the OTC markets under the symbol FPOCF. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, FPX Nickel holds the Dakar Nickel District that is in central British Columbia and the Baptiste deposit on that project that is billed as one of the largest undeveloped nickel projects in the world. Shad and I are chatting with Martin Tarrant, the president and CEO of FPX Nickel. Now, Martin, we're going to focus on a news release that came out just on June 9th, but also tie that into a January news release. Because of how advanced this Baptiste deposit is, the look now comes to what it looks like in a production scenario. And on the back of both of these news releases, we're focusing on the carbon footprint or potential carbon footprint from this project. Now, in the January news release, it outlines that the deposit has the potential to be one of the lowest carbon footprints in the global nickel industry. Let's start here. Martin, take us through and recap that January news release and why it is so important to limit the carbon footprint of a project, especially a nickel project in today's time.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, so we know one of the main demand drivers for nickel is nickel use in electric vehicle batteries. And the push for electrification and EVs is, you know, largely driven by, you know, governments and consumers wanting to reduce the amount of fossil fuel consumption and limit CO2 emissions. And so that's going to require a lot of metal, as we well know, and a lot of nickel in particular. So the carbon footprint associated with mine production of these metals like nickel, copper, lithium, cobalt starts to become really important. Having an EV is really only going to be a net benefit to CO2 emissions if the metals that went into that EV were responsibly sourced and sourced from a low carbon footprint. So the January news release that we put out showed what the projected CO2 footprint for nickel production from our project would look like versus the industry carbon curve. And what we can see from that is that nickel is a very carbon intensive industry. Tons of CO2 production per ton of nickel produced can be upwards of 70 tons. So for every ton of nickel some producers are making, they're emitting 70 tons of CO2. Whereas we believe at Baptiste, we'll only be emitting about 2.5 tons. So about 35 times less CO2 emissions from our potential production at Baptiste versus the industry norm. And we think that's a big sort of competitive advantage for our project going forward.
Martin, what sets this project apart in terms of this low CO2 production? Can you give us some more info there? Simplify it for some people that might not know exactly what goes into mining and exactly how you can limit CO2.
Yeah, so the main driver of CO2 emissions for nickel production is from the mills, from the smelters and the refiners that treat the nickel ores. And the mills, the smelters and the refiners are heavy carbon emitters, in particular when those are being powered by coal-fired power, as they are through most of Asia. And so the most of the nickel that comes out of Asia is therefore kind of very, has high CO2 emissions. Because our project is located in BC, close to cheap, very low carbon emitting hydroelectricity, that hydropower is really the linchpin or the key to allowing us to produce nickel here at the proposed mine with a very low carbon footprint.
Okay, so on top of just the low carbon footprint, the most recent news release, June 9th, now that's showing that this project could actually be carbon neutral. So that means the CO2 that is generated through the process could actually be captured in a sense. Simplify this for us. How big of a step is it to be a carbon neutral operation?
Yeah, so the push to carbon neutrality for us really is driven by the unique mineral nature of the mineralogy of our deposit at Baptiste. So our deposit is rich in a mineral called brucite. Brucite, when it's exposed to air, will actually naturally sequester CO2. So you can imagine these particles of brucite that currently are under the surface of the Earth, in bound up in the host rock. And when that material goes through processing and the host rock is ground down to a fine enough particle size, that brucite becomes exposed to air. And it will actually naturally seek out the carbon dioxide that is in air or in atmosphere and lock that CO2 away in perpetuity. So our tailings facility at this project will be a large carbon sink, basically sucking CO2 out of the air. And based on the research that we've been funding at the University of British Columbia, that research has been co-funded by the federal government of Canada. It shows that our deposit is uniquely well positioned to sequester a lot of CO2 and potentially drive our operation towards being carbon neutral when it's up and running.
Well, Martin, when I hear that, as somebody that's following the mining space, I know that ESG is on the top of everybody's mind. And when I see the University of British Columbia being involved, the government of Canada being involved, and when I think about things like the tweet we saw from Elon Musk, where he wanted to more efficiently source green nickel from the sector for the batteries, you know, as an investor, some people may think, okay, this is all kind of academic, but how does this play into the theme that we're seeing where more and more companies are trying to source their and, you know, their supplies for their goods from companies that are extracting them in a responsible and an environmentally friendly way? How do you see this tying into the overall picture we're seeing develop in the investment space?
Yeah, we come back to the question of why does this matter for FPX? And I think it matters in a few really fundamental ways. First, we know the major mining companies of the world have made pronouncements that they want to become carbon neutral over the next several decades. Okay, so they're feeling a push from regulators, and they're also feeling a push from their investors, like large pension funds and other institutional investors, to clean up their act, so to speak, and to become carbon neutral. So given the scale of our project, we think that ultimately this project will sit in the hands of a major company. So the fact that we can have a very low CO2 footprint, I think makes us all the more attractive to those large companies for an ultimate takeout. You know, beyond that, there's a regulatory push to ensure that the metals that go into these EVs are responsibly and environmentally or sourced in an environmentally friendly manner. And the ability for us to be able to produce nickel with a low or potentially even carbon neutral CO2 footprint means potentially that we could attract premium pricing for our products. It's not likely that North American battery makers and automakers and their European counterparts are going to want to put dirty nickel into their batteries. So they're going to be on the lookout searching for clean sources of nickel. And we think that will put premium pricing on clean nickel in much the same way. If I was to draw an analogy to, let's say, agriculture and to food, people are willing to pay premiums for locally sourced food to support local economies. And they're also willing to pay a premium for food that's grown organically or more in a more environmentally responsible manner. And we think that's going to continue to be a trend that impacts on people's general consumption habits outside of just their food consumption.
And this may be a little bit of a forward-looking statement from me, but what comes to my mind, Martin, is that, you know, we've seen in the silver industry, for example, that companies like Samsung have come down to Avino Silver to start sourcing the metal directly from them. Do you foresee the potential where some of these battery manufacturers may come to companies like you with FPX Nickel and say, hey, we'd like to get an offtake agreement set up, even if you guys aren't in production yet, just because you guys meet the requirements they're looking for in a low carbon, ethically sourced, environmentally friendly nickel source? Do you think you could actually see offtake agreements being set up down the road, even as you go into development?
100% we do. I mean, a big part of my job is actually interacting with those types of industry players. So battery makers, you know, you might have noted that I believe it was in March that Ford announced a joint venture with a Korean battery maker to develop battery production facilities in North America for the Ford EV fleet that's planned to be rolled out in the years to come. And, you know, when I talk to Japanese, Korean battery making companies and Chinese groups as well, who are the sort of the leaders in this space, they have raw materials procurement challenges today, right now, for their current facilities to find nickel in a suitable form to go into the batteries. So you can imagine that as they strike these joint ventures with these North American automakers, to develop these regional supply chains of battery production. There's going to be a huge push for sourcing of North American metals. And absolutely, I think they're going to have to continue to go upstream in order to secure those units. And that source of upstream investment could take multiple forms. But I think it opens up a lot of strategic potential for companies like FPX going forward, 100%.
So, Martin, when it comes to maybe news or developments out of the company specifically here, something that you can control, what should investors be focused on here to understand this continued development for a carbon neutral project, but then also maybe some sort of a partner, some sort of validation from a larger company?
Yeah, we are continuing discussions with various levels of government in North America around continuing to, get collaborative funding to expand this research in this area of carbon sequestration. So that's something that hopefully is able to come to fruition at some point. We've had great success already with the federal government of Canada in accessing some funding for that, which I think is a great validation for what we're doing. And going forward, I think you're going to continue to see this theme of automakers and battery makers continuing to go upstream, continuing to look at securing access to raw materials through offtakes, through potential strategic investment, even at the asset level, or other forms of investment that will allow them to have certainty in their raw materials supply chain. So certainly I wouldn't, say that there's anything imminent for FPX in that regard, but it's a watch this space. And I think we're very well positioned to capitalize on that theme going forward.
Oh, and this theme is definitely taking hold, not just in mining, but really around the world. So more governments paying attention, more people paying attention. Look, it really seems to be building on itself. When it comes to company news, then bring us up to speed on what investors can expect catalyst-wise for FPX Nickel.
Yeah, the next thing we're looking at in the near term is really exploration. So we're going to be getting back on the ground at Baptiste and at the wider Dakar land package here within the coming weeks to get drills turning on the existing deposit, to get drills turning on a new, very attractive target called VAN, which we've talked about in the past, which we're really, really excited about. And so, some news on that exploration getting started and just the continued de-risking and advancement of the Baptiste deposit towards pre-feasibility is what people can continue to look out for.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Martin, for this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding stuff going on at FPX Nickel or even on this whole ESG movement and carbon neutrality, feel free to email us, fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We'll get Martin to address those, and we will stay on top of this subject because it's definitely one that is, building steam, has already been building steam, but is getting a lot more worldwide attention. Martin, I appreciate this update. Thank you for taking some time, and we'll follow up on the back of some more news.
Thanks, guys. Good to catch up.